I guess someone out there might want to hear what I have to say, maybe. Anyway, I wanted to finish up on a couple of thoughts that I had from last week. So we've been studying the gospel of the kingdom, and specifically what that means out there during that thousand-year millennial reign. So I just wanted to touch on something last week that I thought about. So Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah 7. Kind of went through this quickly, and I did wanted to make a point last week and didn't. So last week we read here in Isaiah 7 about a prophecy of Christ's birth here in verse 14, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This verse comes after the preceding verses, which basically is the nation of Israel is going to be losing their land. They're going to be going into captivity in the land of Babylon, and their land is going to be desolate. And then boom, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, Emmanuel means God with us, at a time where God was departing from them. So it was interesting. Verse 15, we read this, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. So I'm not going to go through through this whole thing again, but last week we looked at a couple of verses. Why butter and why honey? So we saw a couple of verses that compared butter or milk, or butter is made from milk. We saw a couple of verses that talk about the milk of the word. God's word was compared to milk and butter, and as well as honey, talking about God's word being sweeter than honey. So anyhow, the thought that I did not convey was this. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. I'm reading between the lines there, thinking that Christ was going to eat butter and honey. Of course, we're talking about Christ as a child. That's the prophecy here. Virgin shall conceive. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good, implying that maybe Christ could have chose the evil. Is that possible? So, Hebrews chapter 4. This is just what I missed to convey last week. Hebrews chapter 4. You probably know where I'm going with this, but verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He's writing to the Hebrews here in the book of Hebrews, not us, obviously. Jesus Christ is talking about Jesus Christ, that high priest. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And that's the last phrase there is what I wanted to touch on, the reason I went to this verse. Christ was, it's interesting to think that Christ came down, he left his position in heaven. It makes you wonder, what form did Christ exist before he came to the earth? Of course, we know that he is the representation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's body, soul, and spirit represented there, and we know that Jesus Christ is a representation of the Godhead, is God in the flesh. So, anyway, what I wanted to point out here was that Christ was without sin. So I did not convey that. If you're thinking about Christ, he ate butter and honey, that he would know to choose the good and refuse the evil. But what if he didn't? Well, it was impossible. He was without sin. So, okay. So I wanted to hit on a couple different thoughts here. Kind of, I shouldn't say exhausting all that there is to know about the kingdom, but there's more I need to study here. So I wanted to hit a couple different points, and it might seem like we're jumping around a little bit this morning, but a couple more thoughts about the kingdom. So we looked in weeks past about who was going to be in the kingdom. We saw that there's in Revelation 20, those who were beheaded for Christ during the tribulation are going to be in the kingdom. We saw in Matthew chapter 8 that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. We saw in Luke 13 that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets are going to be in the kingdom. In Ezekiel 37, we saw that David's going to be king over them. Of course, we know that Christ is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. He's going to be over all the kingdom. But David is going to be their prince forever. That's what it says. We saw that Daniel, God told Daniel to stand in his lot at the end of the days in Daniel chapter 12. Of course, we know that Daniel is one of the prophets. But we also saw that there's going to be, last week we looked at Matthew 19 and Mark 10, where Christ was earthly ministry, and children were brought to him. The disciples wanted to send him away, but he said, "Suffer the children, who of such is the kingdom of God." Talk about little children. So, picking up on that, I wanted to share a verse with you that was a little bit confusing, talking about children in the kingdom. Turn with me to Isaiah 65. It's a confusing verse, and I've heard people teach it different ways. Let's read part of the context here in Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66 obviously are at the end of the book of Isaiah. let me say this about these prophetic books like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. If you read through these books and you study through these prophetic books, even Daniel, there's a progression. There is a time progression. In the last 3 or 4 or 5 chapters of these books, depending upon which one, seems the progression, chapter by chapter, seems to lead up into the end of the world and what Christ is going to do during the tribulation time, the day of the Lord, out into the 1,000-year millennial reign, and beyond, when he creates a new heaven and a new earth, when after death and hell are destroyed, when he, in that time in Revelation 22, when there's a new heaven and a new earth. So anyway, Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66 are two of those chapters that talk about things that are happening way out there in the future. So Isaiah 65, pick up verse 9. "And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. And mine elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor, a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, and prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. I think this is verbiage. I think this is talking about coming, leading up to the day of the Lord. Verse 16. He who blessed himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. That's interesting. I've struggled with that verse for a while, thinking about what happens when you go to heaven. Will you remember things on the earth? We see in the book of Revelation that at least during the tribulation time, there are people. If you turn with me to Revelation, I think it's Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. There are souls of them that have died. Let's see if I can find this. Mark, feel free to help me out here. Okay, here it is, chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So from this passage here, we see at least during that tribulation time, people that have died, and that are under the altar in front of God in heaven, are aware and conscious that where they're at and what is going on, and that their fellow servants and their brethren still have to go through the persecution and are going to be slain and died. They're aware of that. Now, when you go back to this Isaiah 65, it says here, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. So, leading up through the tribulation, up until the day of the Lord, I have to understand that there's people that are on the earth, and even people in heaven, in the whole heavenly host, are fully aware of what's going on with God's plan. And then after the day of the Lord, things that it says here, the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. There's going to be a new, when Christ comes back, he's going to destroy the earth. You see that in Revelation 19. There's going to be all the mountains. Prophecy says that, there's a song about this, every valley shall be exalted. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be made low. It's going to be a plain. It's going to be he says he's going to create new heavens and a new earth. It's interesting in light of the fact of what Mark's been teaching about what's going to happen. We know that there's going to be warfare in heaven. Daniel chapter 12 talks about that. Satan in Revelation is going to be cast down to the earth, and he's going to be wroth because he knows he has just a short while. And here he says in Isaiah 65:17, I create new heavens. God's going to purge the heavens, kick Satan out of heavenly places. What that's going to look like, I don't know. I think it's going to be fascinating. Okay, first, that's all side dish. I still haven't got to the children yet. Verse 18, but be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. In Jerusalem, remember that. There's still going to be death. Remember this as we studied. Death and hell are not cast into the lake of fire until after the 1,000 years are over. So there's still going to be death. There's still going to be weeping on the earth during that 1,000-year reign, but not in Jerusalem. It says, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem. The voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Verse 20 is what I wanted to touch on when we were talking about children in the kingdom. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. I've heard this verse taught. I heard preachers speculate and say, well, you see, that's how I've heard this. You see, Jesus Christ is 33 years old and he died on the cross. Everyone who's resurrected in the kingdom is going to be 33. It's going to be a perfect age. See, there's not going to be no more infant of days for an old man that hasn't filled his days. Where he got that, I don't know. It's speculation. One story is just as good as the other. What does this verse mean? There shall be no more events in the infant of days. There's going to be no children in the kingdom? No, that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? There's going to be no, I heard say there's not going to be any babies. There's not going to be any old people. Is that what this verse is teaching us? I don't think so. We know that people are going to be 100 years old, for sure, but it's interesting here that the child shall die. Here's another verse that tells us that there's going to be death during that time. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Christ is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. There's going to be judgment during this 1,000-year reign. So this doesn't surprise me when I see it, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Obviously, there's going to be sinners there. Think about this. There's going to be 1,000 years. People are going to be reproducing on the earth during this time. Let me give you my interpretation. And again, this you might consider this an opinion, but there shall be... turn to Mark chapter... Hold your place here. Turn to Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read one of these passages about where Christ says, suffer the children. In verse 14 is where I want to go. Verse 13, and they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And think about that concept, receiving the kingdom of God as a little child with innocence. Back to Isaiah 65. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Here it's talking about a child dying at 100 years old. So, the way I'm, many times throughout Scripture, even within one, even sometimes even within the same verse, you'll have the top part of the verse make a statement, and the bottom part of the verse give you the answer. In the same verse, or in, let's say, one verse will give you a statement, and the next verse might give you the answer, the interpretation. I think this might be one of those verses here. He says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, for the child shall die 100 years old. Does that help us understand? That's tough. Let's say this. If a child is 100 years old, is he an infant anymore? Not even close, right? Why would Scripture say a child is? Why would say somebody who's 100 years old is a child? Why would it compare a child who is 100 years old? At first, that's hard to understand, isn't it? What's the meaning of that? A child 100 years old says there shall be no more. That's an infant of days. An infant is somebody who's innocent. So somebody who really doesn't know right from wrong, correct? So here's my interpretation of what I think this means. I think this means that, I don't think it means there's not going to be any babies or no infants. I think this means that just like Mark 10, verse 15, said, suffer the children of such the kingdom of God. He who does not receive the kingdom of God as a child. I think this is talking about having that same innocence of a child at 100 years old. Does that make sense? Says there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. On the contrary, you get an old man. Sometimes a man gets so old he doesn't fill his days. What do I mean by that? I know when I get home from work, I'm tired. I usually sit down and watch TV nowadays. But I got so many things to do at my house. Saturdays I get up, poke around doing something. Sometimes an old man gets up well into his 90s or close to 100. He doesn't really fill his days with anything anymore, does he? He's kind of might sit in a rocking chair or maybe read or something. Sometimes he doesn't have anything to do. He doesn't fill his days. my interpretation of the passage here is that it says there's not going to be any more of that. I think that this means that child being 100 years old is going to have that same innocence that got him into the kingdom. Feel free to disagree. Anybody have any comments or thoughts on the matter? Verse 27, 20, 20, 22, 21. Yeah. Right. Good. Yes. Yes. Agreed. Think of, okay, just hold that thought there. Turn to Revelation 20. It's important to understand this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him in the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received a mark upon their hands, mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So even after 1,000 years, there's going to be another battle, a battle of Gog and Magog. God's going to snuff them out. He doesn't really make such a big deal as not. There's not a whole lot of prophecy about this. There's some back in Ezekiel. There's another battle called the Battle of Gog and Magog. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire of brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. To answer your question, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So after 1,000 years, after the battle of Gog and Magog, at the great white throne judgment. Death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire. There's no more need for death. There's no more need for hell after the great white throne judgment. Because the next verse, 21, verse 1, when I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So we talked about this. At the day of the Lord, after the tribulation, Christ comes back and he makes every mountain's going to be made low, every valley is going to be exalted. There's going to be a new earth, 1,000 years. Satan's going to be loosed out of the prison a little bit to deceive the nations once more. Battle of Gog and Magog. They're going to be snuffed out. Great white throne judgment. Then God creates a new heaven and a new earth again. A little bit confusing. So it's a long way to answer your question, but it's important to understand that during this 1,000-year reign, death still reigns, even though Christ is on the earth. Okay, anyway, that's my... Any other thoughts about the child shall die 100 years old? It says, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. There's going to be some judgment going on during that 1,000 years. Continue on, verse 21, Mark talked about, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people. That's a long time. A tree takes a long time to grow. Think about some of the trees in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's been logged off multiple times since the days of George Washington. What's that time? It's not the Civil War. It's the thank you, Eddie. Revolutionary days. So trees take, you know, it takes 100 years for an oak tree to mature, so I think that's appropriate. It says, as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. They are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat the straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. It was interesting. Trace and I went down a few weeks ago down to a Sight Sound Museum, a theater down in Lancaster, and they have right out in front of the theater. Bigger than life. I'm going to come back to Isaac. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Looking for. No, I'm going to get it right. Three. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up a seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, unto seventh. Not a very good track record there. Yeah, if I'm like brother number five, I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, seven brethren, and they all died. They all had this woman to wife. It says, verse 27, last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. So here's a good question. Whose wife, when she was resurrected, whose wife she going to be? Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which is spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Verse 30 is what I wanted to touch on. We read there a week or two ago in Ezekiel 37, where it talked about, gave an illustration of the resurrection of the nation of Israel, where it's going to be a shaking in the earth, and the bones are going to come up out of the dust. They're going to be bone connected to bone, and the sinews and the tendons are going to come up on the bone, and the skin's going to cover it. And there's going to be these people there, they're lifeless, bodies are lifeless. And then the wind's going to blow. Going to blow the Spirit of God, and they're going to come alive. We talk about the time of the resurrection of the nation of Israel physically. So I think we can apply this verse to that time. It says, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage. And I say this, I think that applies to those who are resurrected. So now during that kingdom time, we're going to have people that have survived the day of the Lord, and they're still alive. We're going to have the nation of Israel that is going to be resurrected, all living on the earth. You think, that's not, how can that be? God's going to wipe them out. Turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, I was going to try and make a point. Verse 33. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land was desolate. This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Verse 36. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. Verse 36 to me indicates that there are going to be some heathen that are left round about them. So how that is, because when you read in Matthew 25, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. So who are these heathen that are left round about them, and why did they survive the day of the Lord? I don't know. When you think about this, the nation of Israel is going to be, I think the thousand year reign is a fulfillment of Ezekiel 19:6, where he said, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. and I think that thousand-year millennial reign, the nation of Israel is resurrected. They're going to be. They're finally going to be the kingdom of priests. Ezekiel 36. God says He's going to write His, give them His Spirit, write His laws in their heart. They're going to fulfill it. They're finally going to be that kingdom of priests. They're going to be a kingdom of priests. They have to be priests to somebody. The whole idea of being a kingdom of priests was that that nation of Israel would be a priestly nation to the rest of the world. If God wipes out the rest of the world during the day of the Lord, there is nobody else to be a kingdom of priests to. So, if anyone else has any comments or thoughts about that, but when I read this verse 36, then the heathen that are left round about you shall know. Kind of indicates to me that there's going to be some nations. He talks about them going to the nations. So what I wanted to say was, I believe that those that have survived, those people that don't, that do not die, the humans that do not die during the wrath of the day of the Lord, that survive, that go into the thousand-year reign, continue to reproduce and have children, build houses, and that the nation of Israel that is resurrected into the kingdom, those people that are resurrected do not marry, they're not given in marriage, and they don't have any more children. Does that make sense? Y'all think, man, he is crazy, Tracy. Yes, the wrath of God during the day of the Lord is going to be poured out on the entire world. I do believe that. But the prophecy we're reading about here in Revelation truly is God's got His eye on that land. The land He's going in there purging out those, getting them out of the land. But the other places in Revelation, I'm not going to go into it now. Where a third of the ships, a third of the green grass is burned up. It's really, the focus is in the land. Now, on the contrary, there is going to come an hour of temptation, it says, is going to be upon all the earth. So, we can't, Mark. I don't know. Right. That's the dilemma that I have, because it's the same. Yep, it's the same as Matthew 25, separation of the sheep and goats. The ones on one side are going to be cast into lake of fire. These heathen that remaineth? I don't know.
Never heard of the gospel.
Yeah, this really comes down to the root. It's the same exact argument for infant salvation. Well, guys, sorry, I'm out of time. I don't want to touch that one. It's ten till, so we're gonna have to stop. But yes, where do these people come from? Are they people that are really in a state? Are they children that eventually grow up to be adults during the thousand year reign? Are they innocent? Is it before they know the difference between good and evil? Why were they not destroyed? I don't know. There's some things in Scripture I don't know. So give me something to think about this week.